This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details. And now we enlighten you with verses 162 to 165 of chapter Al-An'am from the Holy Quran, recited by Murtaza Fatemi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين قل أغير الله أبغي ربا وهو رب كل شيء ولا تكسب كل نفس إلا عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى ثم إلى ربكم مرجعكم فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون وهو الذي جعلكم خلائف الأرض ورفع بعضكم فوق بعض درجات ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم إن ربك إنك سريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Say, surely my prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. No associate has He, and this am I commanded, and I am the first of those who submit. Say, what shall I seek, a Lord other than Allah? And He is the Lord of all things. And no soul earns evil but against itself, and no bearer of burden shall bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord is your return, so He will inform you of that in which you differed. And He it is who has made you successors in the land, and raised some of you above others by various grades, that He might try you by what He has given you. Surely, your Lord is quick to requite evil, and He is most surely the forgiving, the merciful.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Here's a look at our top stories this hour. Leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says those states seeking normalization with Israel will have a lot to regret. From Karachi to London, pro-Palestine groups rally on International Quds Day to condemn decades of Israeli apartheid. Plus, North Korea warns it might use a preemptive nuclear strike to ensure its military superiority. Thank you for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the entirety of Palestine has today turned into a stage for resistance, invalidating all plots aimed at compromise with Israel. In a speech delivered in Arabic on the occasion of International Quds Day, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "An invincible willpower in Palestine and throughout West Asia has replaced the so-called invincible Israeli army." He said while Israel has now been forced on the defensive, the regime's chief ally, the United States, has suffered consecutive defeats such as in Afghanistan and against Iran. He praised the resistance of the Palestinian people, stressing that they are united in continuing the struggle on the path of God against the Israeli regime. The leader warned that while Israel is, quote, short of breath, it keeps committing crimes and killing innocent people. Ayatollah Khamenei censured the silence of the so-called advocates of human rights in Europe and the U.S. in the face of these crimes. The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says the countries that seek to normalize ties with Israel will ultimately lose and regret their decision. Abdul Malik al-Houthi also said those who become allies with Israel are clearly retreating from basic principles related to the Palestinian issue. The Ansarullah leader also said positive results from proper measures against the enemies in Palestine, Lebanon, and Yemen are already emerging. Al-Houthi also referred to International Quds Day rallies that were held across the globe on Friday. He said, "It is of great importance that the event was extensively marked in Islamic countries. The Yemeni people marked Quds Day too. They filled the streets in different cities in a show of support for the Palestinian cause."
Thousands of Yemenis took to the streets of Yemen's capital Sana'a to mark the International Quds Day and to voice their support for Palestinians. Senior officials and Palestinian activists were among the protesters.
We went out today to emphasize the centrality of the Palestinian cause and that Quds is the primary cause of Arabs and Muslims, and that the demise of Israel, which constitutes a cancerous gland in the region, is the basis for ending wars and conflicts in the region. The Zionist entity is behind the fragmentation in our region and is also behind the war and siege we're experiencing today against our country. The millions who went out today around the world will be the army that will liberate Palestine, God willing.
Protesters chanted slogans vowing to regain all the occupied lands all over the Arab world, especially Palestinian territories. They said the Israeli entity is only temporary and will end sooner or later.
Quds is a central and fundamental issue in our reality, our culture, and our nation, despite the failure of the Arabs in the past periods. Today, there is a direct and promising trend, and generations have changed from the past. The axis of resistance has become more cohesive, and there is a wide coordination between the axis forces and the Zionist enemy, aware of the danger of these changes.
Every year, Yemenis mark the International Quds Day as they believe that it is one way of expressing their solidarity with their Palestinian brothers. Despite the tragic humanitarian situation in Yemen, people here say it is the responsibility of all Muslims across the world to stand by the Palestinian people in the face of the Israeli aggression until the liberation of the occupied territories. Abdul Latif Loshali, Sana'a.
Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip rallied on Friday to mark International Quds Day. Millions of people around the world hold rallies every year to mark this day, which takes place on the last Friday of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan, to support the people of Palestine. Protesters shouted slogans against the Israeli regime and demanded an end to the Israeli occupation. The big event was organized by the Islamic Jihad movement.
Today we mark International Quds Day, while freedom fighters from Gaza, Yemen, Tehran, Lebanon and Syria, as well as in other places around the world, stand united for the sake of Al-Quds.
International Quds Day was declared in 1979 by the founder of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the late Ayatollah Khomeini, to drum up international solidarity for the Palestinian people. People at the rally expressed their gratitude to Imam Khomeini for his historic initiative.
On International Quds Day, we say to the whole world that we are willing to sacrifice our lives for the sake of Al-Quds. We also want to express our deepest gratitude to the Islamic Republic of Iran and Imam Khomeini for this important occasion in solidarity with Al-Quds.
Al-Quds and the Al-Aqsa Mosque have a special place in the hearts of millions of Muslims around the world due to its religious status. Extremist Jewish settlers backed by Israeli forces have been violating the sanctity of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in recent days.
Imam Khomeini's designation of this day is of great importance because it unites all resistance fronts for the sake of supporting Palestine and Al-Quds. These fronts are united today more than ever to help secure the liberation of Al-Quds.
International Quds Day is observed in over 80 countries around the globe.
Observers say the international community has failed to help the Palestinians and has turned a blind eye to the Israeli violations against them for decades. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah held a rally to commemorate International Quds Day. Secretary General of the resistance movement Sayed Hassan Nasrallah addressed the gathering, stressing that the latest individual operations by Palestinians have once again shown the weakness of the Israeli regime, while proving that the Palestinian people have not forgotten their cause, but have rather become more hopeful in the liberation of their land.
The Palestinians told the Israelis over the past weeks that they cannot occupy Palestine and still enjoy security. The military confrontations have proven to be capable of achieving victories and defeating the enemy, and this path must continue. Liberating Palestine might not need great armies or weapons, but rather martyrdom fighters.
Sayed Nasrallah also warned the Israelis that any uncalculated move during their military drills in May will lead to a direct retaliation from Hezbollah.
When the Israeli exercises begin, the resistance in Lebanon will be at the highest levels of alert and readiness. We tell the Israeli enemy not to bet on exhaustion or hunger or poverty. Any act of foolishness will be met with an immediate response.
The leader of the resistance in Lebanon once more reiterated the regional strategy that any assault on Al-Quds will lead to a regional war. Palestinians in Lebanon also attended the rally in Beirut and held several gatherings in refugee camps. They also were vocal in asserting that they are with the pro-armed struggle.
We tell our people, the youth of Al-Quds, where 250,000 have gathered to fortify and defend this holy site. They are defending the dignity of the entire nation. Today, we are commemorating this day not only in solidarity, but we are commemorating with the sword of Al-Quds. We are the children of the sword. We are the sons of the resistance and the front of the resistance. And with resistance, we shall liberate Al-Quds and defend human dignity.
Despite being away from their homeland, Palestinian refugees said their hearts and minds are with their people.
International Quds Day is seen by many across the globe as a day to denounce Israeli oppression and occupation of Palestinian land. For Palestinians in the diaspora, it is a day to renew their decades-long struggle to return to their homeland. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Fury in the streets of Pakistan. In their tens of thousands across the country, these supporters of Palestinian converged at the city center to show solidarity with wounded and traumatized Palestinians who face Israeli atrocities on a daily basis.
Decades after Imam Khomeini declared the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as International Quds Day, people across the globe, including Pakistan, continue to show support for Palestinian cause.
Protesters slammed what they called the criminal silence of international community and their failure to denounce the Israeli regime.
We've gathered here to celebrate Al-Quds Day, which was commanded by Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. According to him, it's the day of Islam, it's the day of God, and whoever does not celebrate this day, whoever does not commemorate Al-Quds Day, is an agent of Israel and an agent of the Zionist regime.
We are here because Palestine is under oppression of Israel.
Leaders at the rally also condemned the U.S. support for Israel and stressed upon the need for unity among Muslims to support Palestinian resistance.
As Muslims, our leader Imam Khomeini, he has urged all the Muslims to come forward on Jummat al-Wida to show our support for the Palestinians. We are here to show our solidarity with the Palestinian cause. Israel has illegally oppressed them and taken their land, which is legally theirs.
We are here to stand for the people of Palestine. We are here because Imam Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, has declared this day as International Day for the oppression in the world. Those nations who are being oppressed in the world, we stand for them here.
Speakers also expressed anger at some Arab countries over normalizing ties with Israel. Mohammed Turi, Karachi.
Another Quds Day, another worldwide cry for the end to Israeli crimes in occupied Palestine. From Iran to Iraq to London, over the weekend thousands turned up in the British capital to call once more for an end to Israel's crimes against humanity, and on Friday, a bus emblazoned with messages calling on people to join the campaign for a free Palestine. On board were representatives of the Jewish community and clergy who say Zionism has hijacked their faith.
Zionism, this raising anti-Semitism over the world. Zionism with the acts by the killings, in the robbery of the land, in the killing of innocent women and children, this raises anti-Semitism over the world. So Zionism doesn't save Jews at all.
As a daughter of people who survived the Holocaust, it's very important that every nation should have learned by that and learned about freedom. And how dare Jews who suffered how dare they do the same to the Palestinians as what happened to their parents? I think it's absolutely beyond disgusting.
Carol, a Jew in the eighth decade of her life, says she is confident she will see Palestine free in her lifetime.
And this is a sentiment shared here in London and around the world, that the last apartheid on earth is about to end and justice is just around the corner for the Palestinians.
Also passionate about the Palestinian plight are Black Lives Matter activists, who say their cause has historic links to the anti-occupation movement in the occupied Palestinian territories.
I think that one day Palestine will be free. And I think it's important for us to keep up that fight. You know, I remember, and I can only equate it to South Africa. They said it could never happen. They said black people could never be free. Nelson Mandela, the idea of him being a prime minister or president was impossible. And that's what they've said about Palestine, but we are still here. And the thing is, we're not going to stop fighting and campaigning and marching and protesting until they are free.
The annual Quds Day March comes in the wake of repeated attacks on Masjid al-Aqsa and Gaza throughout the holy month of Ramadan. Young and old were being targeted, hundreds were arrested, at least 150 Palestinians were injured and 19 killed. Calls are growing louder every year for the international community to force an end to the occupation, which is not a matter of if, but when. Bianca Rahimi, London.
People have rallied in Damascus to mark International Quds Day. They took to the streets, making their way through Old Damascus and chanting slogans in support of liberating Palestine.
Our message is that this day is the day of all the Islamic nation. Today, everyone marched in Iran, Yemen, Iraq, and many countries. One day, Quds Day will be the day of victory in Palestine, thanks to resistance men.
As Syrians, we came today to show support. Quds is the axis. We express solidarity with Palestinians every year. I salute all Palestinians in Syria. We are against any Israeli aggression, whether on Syria or Palestine. Quds will be freed.
The crowds converged near the Grand Umayyad Mosque, where heads of Syria-based Palestinian factions and prominent resistance figures delivered words on this occasion. They expressed determination to the track of resistance to restore Palestinian rights and land from Israeli occupation.
This day makes Zionists shiver out of fear. It's a day for renewing vows for Palestinians. Palestine will remain the axis for the Islamic nation. The only path to save Palestine is by ending the Israeli occupation. It's a day of passing by the resistance to the next generation.
By setting this day as Quds Day and supporting resistance, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and anyone who struggles against Zionism and imperialism, Iran is asserting once again that Palestine is a central cause for the Islamic nation.
Syria welcomed for years hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees and created refugee camps for them. It gave them equal rights to Syrians as a show of unlimited support to their suffering and struggle. This annual event has become a significant date for the Palestinian cause. Every year, Quds Day comes as a reminder of the importance of unity among all Palestinians to create one unified stance based on resistance against the Israeli enemy. Muhammad Ali, Damascus.
The North Korean leader says his country could preemptively use nuclear weapons to counter hostile forces and maintain what he calls the absolute superiority of its armed forces. Kim Jong-un says Pyongyang should continue to build up its arsenal to have the overwhelming military muscle, which no one can provoke. It says that's the lifeline guaranteeing North Korea's security. Kim was meeting with the top military brass. Earlier this week, North Korea held a parade to mark the 90th anniversary of the founding of its armed forces. The parade also featured the country's latest intercontinental ballistic missiles. On that occasion, too, Kim vowed to accelerate the development of North Korea's nuclear arsenal. The country has progressed its nuclear and missile program despite U.S. pressure over the past years. Talks between the two sides have failed to resolve their differences.
Well, that's your world news for now. Stay tuned.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust. From the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps. From the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me, in full, in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. These hours, the faithful are sad that the blessed month of Ramadan is bidding farewell. They hope to have been able to draw God's satisfaction in this month. True happiness is absent in the modern world. Today, the Western civilization has provided a variety of games and means of entertainment for human beings. Yet, the statistics reveal a bitter reality. The number of depression, absurdity, and aimlessness is increasing on a daily basis. The Western civilization is very boisterous and fussy, but inwardly it is cold, desperate, indolent, and hollow. According to the Quran, what brings calm to the heart and spirit is remembrance of God. Remembrance of God is embodied in the form of serving fellow men and making them happy. Our leaders say that giving charity is a way to make others happy. Charity causes many blessings in life. There are two kinds of charity in Islam. One is obligatory like zakat, which should be paid in special conditions. Another kind of charity is non-obligatory and recommended. Zakat should be paid in a specified amount to the sources, which religion determines. But non-obligatory charity has no time or amount, and we are free to pay to anyone we like. God's last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said to Imam Ali, peace upon him, to try to pay charity as much as he could, even if it may seem extravagant in the eyes of the people. God says, I have assigned an agent for taking everything except charity, which I take it myself from my servant. The Prophet says, just as you bring up a young horse or a young camel, God brings up the date or loaf of bread which you have given as charity so that it grows as big as Uhud Mountain. On the day of resurrection, when the earth is entirely in fire, charities will make shadow over the faithful and immune them against the hardships of the day. The Prophet has advised us to give charity every day. According to the Islamic narrations, charity is not limited to spending money. Rather, it includes helping people and removing their problems. However, the best charities are the ones which are given and done in Ramadan or on Friday. Giving up sahari or pre-dawn meal is quite false, as it will cause weakness for fasting persons. Giving up sahari will undermine muscles. Sahari should contain the things which prevent thirst. Thus, salads and watermelon are suitable. Foods like macaroni and ashreshte are not good as they cause thirst. Ashreshte is an Iranian porridge which is made up of vegetables, grains, and special noodles. It is very tasty, but is not recommended to have before dawn. We'd better to avoid foods containing aubergine, sausage, salami, mayonnaise, garlic, onion, and fatty and salty meals. Bread and low-salt cheese with vegetables can be a good choice. Liquid stews are also good for this time. Juicy fruits are also very good, as they provide water during the day. As it has been said before, gluttony will overload the digestive system and will cause dyspepsia, stomachache, and flutinance. In other words, in order to avoid reflux of stomach, it is better to drink water and other juices at the end of the food. After finishing sahari or pre-dawn meal, we'd better wait for a few minutes and then go to bed. Generally, fried foods are not that useful during Ramadan. These foods require a lot of dressing and curries and cause thirst and sour stomach. Once you eat these foods, you'd better add lemon, yogurt, and vegetables. The sweets and pastries like zulbia, bamiye, should not be eaten too much as they contain high amount of sugar and can cause problems for stomach. The travelers in the way of Allah consider the blessed month of Ramadan as the beginning of the year. They assign serious programs for self-purification, which they seriously try to comply with them. They try to gain the best benefits from the hours and moments of this month to deserve gaining the divine mercy. Following the practice of pious ulama will help us in self-purification and reaching God's proximity. Mirza Muhammad Jafar Ansari was a great clergyman and a relative of the highly renowned jurisprudent of all times, Sheikh Murtaza Ansari. Mirza Muhammad had learned the Quran by heart. It has been written on him that he not only would perform his obligatory daily prayers, he would also perform recommended non-obligatory prayers. He used to recite one part of the Quran every day. He would perform the long Ja'far Tayyar prayer and Ziyarat Jame'e and Ziyarat Ashura every day. The former is a long standard form of salutation of the infallible imams, which helps us know them better. Ziyarat Ashura is also a standard form of salutation of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, which has been emphasized by many ulama to be read as many times as one can. Mirza Muhammad was very sharp-minded, and he knew many prayers and supplications by heart. We hope that God will help us follow great religious figures as our own role models. Amen.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Rules of engagement.
We want to know more about what Israeli soldiers have to tell, about their rules of engagement, the truth behind the occupation. And for that, we move to Tel Aviv. In a non-disclosed location, there is a small office. The exact location will not be disclosed for security reasons. Here, we're going to meet former soldiers of the Israeli military forces, members of an organization that defies the occupation, breaking the silence.
My name is Yehuda Shaul. I grew up in what you would call the political right in Israel. I was an infantry combat soldier and a commander. I finished my service as a company sergeant. My sisters are settlers. One of my brothers is a settler today. Even though I grew up in the political right, I found myself in a place where I couldn't justify any more 90% of actions I took part in.
Yehuda Shaul is the co-founder of Breaking the Silence.
But after serving Israeli military forces as a combat soldier, he decided to do something that changed his life forever. He was the first Israeli soldier to tell the truth about the occupation of Palestine.
I really hope that I'll see the end of the occupation. The first real place I was deployed was Hebron. The second I arrived in Hebron, I started having doubts.
December 2016. The United Nations Security Council approves Resolution 2334. It reaffirms that Israeli settlements in Palestinian land are illegal and a violation of the international law. A few weeks later, with Donald Trump already in the White House, Israel announces the expansion of the West Bank settlements.
Between the United States and the State of Israel.
It means more settlers to add to the 600,000 that are now living in Palestinian land.
In the occupied territories in general, you basically have two communities, Palestinians and settlers. These two communities do not have the same rights. Palestinians are under military law, enforced by the army, and settlers are under Israeli civilian law, enforced by the Israeli police. So I arrived to Hebron, and my mission is to protect the settlers.
They come from all over the world, invited by Jewish organizations and travel agencies working for the settlers' cause.
I come from Los Angeles. I flew 15 hours yesterday to come show support for Israel.
Heavily guarded by Israeli soldiers, every tour of hate contributes to putting more pressure on Palestinians. On the days of the tours, Palestinians are with a gun at their heads, sieged inside their houses, while settlers explain to the tourists how they conquered the land. The first advice to the tourists is, keep away from the Palestinians or you will be killed. Settlers create hate tourism. The goal? Bring more settlers to set down in Palestinian land.
Amachia Chats. I'm 30 years old and I serve in a special unit called Dubdavan. It specializes in counter-terror inside the West Bank, specifically. Now, what's special about my unit is that it does undercover operations.
For at least half an hour, four men had been throwing stones at Israeli soldiers. But in a matter of seconds, they pulled out their guns, opening fire at the group of protesters.
We have soldiers, fighters, that know how to assimilate within the Palestinian society. They speak Arab, they dress as Arab.
The four men are, in fact, Israeli soldiers disguised as Palestinian. They are known as Mustarabim, an Arabic term that literally means Arab pretenders, infiltrators among Palestinians to carry out military missions.
With that ability, we are able to specific missions from kidnapping or stopping all kind of terrorists who wanted to complicated and even classified operations.
They also carry out selective executions. It was 12th of November 2015. About two dozen men wearing bulky jackets barged into a Palestinian hospital, pushing what appeared to be a pregnant woman in a wheelchair. But they were not heading to the delivery ward. The people caught on the hospital were, in fact, undercover Israeli officers. About 10 minutes later, the Israelis were on their way out, leaving behind a Palestinian man dead and taking his cousin with them.
And I remember really clearly, they divide us to two groups, and we're standing one in front of another. And then they told us, you need to imagine that you're going into the field. They're a Palestinian, a terrorist. And he's gonna shoot your mom, rape your sister, and he's gonna kill your little brother. And right before you go in, this is how you need to be in your mind.
I'll just give you one example. What we call in the IDF, making our presence felt. We start night shift patrol, 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, 8-hour shift. We walk in the streets, bump into a house. It's a random house. The sergeant, the officer who leads the patrol, chooses these houses, wake up the family.
Now it's the middle of the night, around 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. We have our weapon. Our face is covered with colors, so we'd be intimidating.
Lock them in one room. Separate men from women, search the place. You can yourself imagine the dynamics, what happens when a military unit bumps into your house, 2 o'clock at night.
So how is this
tradition? We knock on the door, the head of the family opens the door. The first time we realize this is a family we're going into.
Knock on some doors, make some noise, throw some shock grenade. Run to the other corner of the street, invade another random house. Wake up the next family.
Open all the doors, open all the lights, open all the windows. Wake up all your family and bring them here to the living room. We need to question you.
Search the place, you know, climb on the roof, jump from one roof to another, go down through the balcony, wake up the next house.
It'd be exciting on one point because this is the first time you're out there. On the other hand, this is not exactly the war zone that I was looking for or I was really anticipating for.
And that's basically how you pass your 8-hour shift. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. From September 2000, when the second Intifada started, till today, it didn't stop for 1 second.
I remember one of the main operations that I've done. It was this big operation. We were all very proud of it. We decided we need to do a thing called a hot operation. Get into a house, we were blowing up the door with explosives. And the guy with the explosives put explosives on the door, and he put a little bit more. And we go and we hide in the corner, and 3, 2, 1, and huge boom. Went off, and I really remember it, and also seen it later on the camera. And right after the boom, we quickly go inside. It looks like the house was picking up in the air and thrown down. All the windows were broken, the doors were torn, and we quickly find the guy. We take him outside, we put him against the wall, and there's something really weird. The guy doesn't look like the guy that we're looking for, and the house doesn't exactly look like the house that was supposed to break in. Then we notice we blew up the wrong house, and we go out the next corner, find the right house, and continue the mission.
Almost on a weekly basis, I would sit down with my soldiers and talk about values and morality. I remember one Thursday, you know, you just finish sitting down talking about values, and then you start a patrol, and you walk in the streets of the old city, and suddenly we see a suspicious bag in the side of the road. Could be a bomb. Could be garbage. Both happened. What do we do? We grab the first random Palestinian and send him to pick it up. If it's a bomb, it would explode. If not, we continue. 2 hours ago, we spoke about the equality of human life and how every human being. And now we just proved that the life of a random Palestinian in the street is worth less than what? One bullet of an M16 that we can shoot it and check whether it's a bomb or not? 20 minutes waiting for a bomb, you know, engineer? What is obvious for me is that protecting Israel from terrorism is a very small part of what we do. What we mainly do in the occupied territories, it's about making sure Palestinians will never be free.
We are going back to Jerusalem Al-Quds to meet a so-called NGO. They call themselves My Truth, and the organization was born in the social media.
controversy is being stirred up in Israel involving one of the country's most polarizing activist groups.
They stand for the values of Zionism, and their goal, tell the truth about the occupation of Palestine. But their truth denies any violation of human rights, killings, or even the occupation. Their members are veterans of the Israeli military forces and were created to fight breaking the silence.
My name is Lior Shahat. I've served in the IDF. I'm also a part of an organization called My Truth.
My name is Ben. I served in the IDF. My Truth was open up in direct response to breaking the silence.
My name is Eitan Meir. I'm the International Relations Coordinator for Im Tirtzu. I was born and raised in New Jersey in the United States, and I immigrated to Israel in 2008. Im Tirtzu, it's a non-governmental organization, and its goals are simple, to promote and advance Zionist values in Israel.
Do you think breaking the silence are traitors?
Breaking the silence gets millions and millions of shekels, foreign governmental entities in Europe, Denmark, Holland, Spain, even Germany, France. I don't know what the ultimate goal is in breaking the silence and all these other organizations that receive funding from foreign European governments in order to defame and delegitimize the state of Israel. I look at their actions, and their actions are 100% anti-Israel.
How do you feel when the Minister of Defense say that you are traitors?
Just say,
Moshe Ya'alon, the former Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, says openly that Breaking the Silence is an organization of traitors and that they were banned from all military events. Lieutenant General Moshe Ya'alon, Defense Minister of Israel, after all the controversy and war crimes committed under his orders during the last operation in Gaza, he says, I can still look at myself in the mirror.
I can look to myself in the mirror.
About the cases open in several civil courts across the world, he has an explanation. The world is lying.
When the Minister of Defense calls you a traitor and a spy, people on the street respond to this incitement, and then our office gets physically attacked once. Our activists get physically attacked twice on campuses. And right-wing bullies published phone number of the grandparents of our executive director, and they've been getting calls in the middle of the night. Your granddaughter was in a car accident. She's dead. She's in the hospital. Yeah? It's becoming very filthy. What we've seen in the last few years is more and more attempts by the government to try to silence anyone who speaks out about the occupation.
This is the website of Breaking the Silence. Here you can find hundreds of testimonies of soldiers that served the occupation in Gaza and the West Bank. They tell about crimes committed against the Palestinians. Abuse. Assassinations. Bribery. Confirmation of killings. Deaths. Everything documented with place, date, and names.
Also, a lot of times they find that, you know, with Breaking the Silence, a lot of their stories are not true. And you have the commanders of these soldiers coming and saying, hey, I was there. That's not how it played out. What are you talking about?
Breaking the Silence, it felt bad for me to see how they act.
I was there. I served in the army. I was in very difficult situations in the Golani Brigade. And these things Breaking the Silence says did not happen. They either did not happen or exaggerated, and they certainly do not reflect the general doctrine of the IDF. So when you have Israelis going abroad and slandering the country, how could you expect the people of Europe to think otherwise?
My Truth is trying to fight against the rising support that Breaking the Silence is achieving around the world, among human rights organizations, but also governments.
There is a settler NGO financed by the Israeli government, sending spies undercover into activist groups and human rights organizations to try to spread paranoia, and it's kind of like a Stasi-type behavior. They try to send us people who will give us false testimony so we will publish and lose our credibility. They send two guys undercover to our activists, becoming friends with people, embraced by people, being brought into the homes of people while everything is recorded from hidden cameras. Sent a guy to give us state secrets about classified operations behind enemy lines in Syria so they can initiate a security investigation against us. Now, our researcher sits down with this guy, and during the interview, he insists four or five times to talk about Syria. And our researcher tells him, we're not interested in Syria. Let's move on, go back to the West Bank and Gaza.
And right away we sent this interview to the Israeli military censorship. And later on we were able to confirm that the guy was a mole, was a spy for the settler organization. Then we released it to the media. You have a settler organization with Israeli government funding sending a soldier to breach national security laws to give a state secret so they can initiate an investigation against us. It's the opposite of anything that makes sense. That's how far the Israeli political right has gone to try to silence anyone who speaks out against the occupation.
Breaking the silence, you have to realize this is the credible minority of it, and in those cases that they are found to do it, there are laws. And
they say because soldiers are afraid to join breaking the silence.
Anyone that's been to Israel, and I encourage all the viewers to do so, will realize that Israelis are the last people, I would say, have a problem about speaking their mind.
Do you think there are many soldiers desiring to speak out inside the IDF? They are afraid to
do it? Yeah, what we know is that the Israeli government is trying to do many different things to try to make sure that soldiers will not speak out. For example, they're now taking us to court to force us to expose the identity of soldiers who served in Gaza in 2014 and testify to us so they can throw them to prison.
Every day during that operation, between 1 to 3 in the afternoon, the IDF had something called a humanitarian ceasefire to allow the local population in Gaza to go out, get the food they need, visit, you know, their relatives, breathe some fresh air. When you go to an organization like Hamas, unfortunately, that was the time when they would shoot the most rockets. We decided not to do anything because we decided it was a ceasefire, and we just allowed them to keep firing rockets, putting, you know, Palestinians on top of the Israelis.
Gaza is the most heavily populated enclave on the globe. 1.8 million people, and more than 1 million are refugees that before 1948 lived in what is now the occupation. This strip of land is, in fact, a huge refugee camp, but also an open-air prison, sieged by Israel by land, sea, and air. Last Israeli aggression on Gaza lasted 50 days of intensive bombings. Entire neighborhoods were reduced to rubble. Operation Protective Edge, as it was called by Israel, continued for 7 weeks, leaving behind around 3,000 deaths and around 500,000 Gazans displaced. And if it continues, experts believe, Gaza will become a place where no humans can live.
I would say the findings that we have after interviewing today over 80, not over 90, soldiers and officers who served in Operation Protective Edge is that the massive amount of civilian casualties, over 1,000 civilians, over 500 children, the massive amount of destruction of infrastructure, civilian infrastructure. Yeah, about 18,000 apartments destroyed. It's not a coincidence. It's a direct result of two new doctrines that the IDF has adopted that shaped the way this operation was conducted, led to this destruction that we left behind. One sentence of four words that every Israeli combat soldier grows on. Yesh safek, en safek. When there is doubt, there is no doubt. If you're in a situation of doubt, you're not sure what the rules of engagement are, you don't see clear the target, the orders are to shoot to the knees and the bottom, and you're afraid you're going to hit the stomach, you have no doubt. You don't pull the trigger. Because once you pull the trigger, there is no way back. In Gaza, the same sentence was used, exactly the opposite. There is doubt, there is no doubt. If you have doubt, if you're not sure, pull the trigger, because we prefer the mistakes to be at the expense of the other side.
You know, we don't have any red lines anymore for our security. Don't we stop somewhere and say, am I going to do this in the name of security, really? You might say it's security, but I know that this is not my values.
The problem is the occupation. Any army in the world that will get the order to go and occupy another people forever
will behave this way. And the only way you can do this is if you don't see Palestinians as equal human beings to you. Because to an equal human being to you, you just don't do this. That is immoral. And it's because the mission is immoral. Our behavior was immoral. The problem is the political mission the army is sent to carry out. Hence, the solution is ending the occupation, is changing the political mission the army is sent to carry out.
The Limelight.
After Kushner met in secret with MBS, America's ally and the ruler of Saudi Arabia, MBN was arrested and thrown into prison, where he remains to this day. As a result, Jared's buddy, MBS, now runs the kingdom and controls its money, says Tom Hardman, writer, in an article titled "Jared Kushner Sold Out to Saudis for $2 Billion and Nobody Seems to Care." Stay tuned for more. After President John F. Kennedy appointed his brother as Attorney General, Republicans freaked out and passed an anti-nepotism law against presidents hiring family members. When Donald Trump put Jared Kushner into the White House, even after he failed a security clearance, his Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel ruled essentially that Trump could ignore the law. Saudi Arabia was then run by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef, or MBN, the grandson of the nation's founder, King Abdulaziz. MBN's father, Nayef bin Abdulaziz, had run the country before him. Like his father and grandfather, MBN was tight with U.S. intelligence agencies and committed to a stable long-term relationship with the United States and Europe. When Trump came into office in 2017, MBN's cousin, Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, was merely one of many Saudi princes joking for position and power in the kingdom. At the time Trump appointed Kushner in 2017, U.S. intelligence and the State Department were concerned that if MBS were to overthrow MBN, the consequences could be unpredictable for the United States. Kushner, with his new security clearance in hand, would have had access to that information. Things were getting wild in the kingdom. MBS wanted to overthrow MBN, and according to some extraordinary reporting from Vicky Ward, Jared saw an opportunity to go around U.S. interests and help MBS overthrow and imprison his cousin to MBS could seize control of the kingdom and its more than $700 billion. Four well-placed sources, she reports, say that the primary reason Kushner has now received $2 billion is that he helped MBS depose MBN. Knowing that this went directly against what U.S. intelligence wanted or thought was good for national security, Kushner has always said he did not give U.S. intelligence to the Saudis. Suddenly, the news was full of stories about members of the Saudi royal family who were being held by security forces in fancy hotels, some being tortured, and a few even vanished. After Kushner met in secret with MBS, America's ally and the ruler of Saudi Arabia, MBN, was arrested and thrown into prison, where he remains to this day. As a result, Jared's body, MBS, now runs the kingdom and controls its money. David Ignatius of the Washington Post noted a few weeks after MBS began arresting his royal political foes, apparently using information from inside U.S. intelligence agencies. It was probably no accident that last month Jared Kushner, Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law, made a personal visit to Riyadh. The two princes are said to have stayed up until nearly 4 a.m. several nights swapping stories and planning strategy. Did Jared sell out American interests for $2 billion? It was with MBS that President Trump negotiated a 2.2 million barrels a day production cut in 2020, when the pandemic had crashed demand for oil. It was MBS who reportedly said he had Jared in his pocket. It was MBS who reportedly had Washington Post writer Jamal Khashoggi murdered and dismembered by an assassination squad when visiting a Saudi embassy to get a visa to marry his fiancée. And the New York Times notes it was Jared who was there for MBS when he needed a friend on the inside. As the killing set off a firestorm around the world, and American intelligence agencies concluded that it was ordered by Prince Mohammed, MBS, Mr. Kushner became the prince's most important defender inside the White House. It's MBS who the Wall Street Journal reports is now moving his country closer to enemies to punish President Joe Biden. It's also MBS who is today refusing to take President Biden's calls about restoring that oil production, which would reduce oil prices and relieve much